Clouds Weather Media Main Show.
We're back.
No, you're not going to do the whole thing? We usually have a theme song, but the tablet that's here that usually controls it is not here. So we'll do it a cappella later. We'll do it in post. You'll hear it later on. But we have AJ Georgi. And his lovely girlfriend. What was your name?
It's Liz. Just Liz.
Okay, time. Just Liz. You're like Prince.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are a member short. Sean Ast could not be here today, unfortunately. He had a case of the drinks and is MIA, so who knows where he is. I hope he's safe. Anyway, so it's been like the week from fucking hell for me. I pulled some muscle in my back while sleeping on last Monday.
Gotta love that.
Yeah, I was like, wow, this is aging, I guess. You just sleep and hurt yourself. And I had to call for it Tuesday, made a doctor's appointment Wednesday, slept past it, made it for Thursday, and then it was gone. So then I didn't want to pay the $20, so I didn't go in. And then that Thursday, I got a $140 speeding ticket on the way to school.
Oh, man.
So called off 2 days worth of work and then didn't make any money. Now I have to pay $140 to Portage County. Thank you so much, officer. I can't remember his name. He was quite the cock. Anyways, and then today it was a blast. I was delivering pizza, as I do. And I pulled in. I was like looking for this address, and I turned left into the driveway and didn't see that like there was a mountain of snow to my right, and it clipped off the front end of my bumper.
Jeez. Bad week for you in automobiles,
it's
man.
It's terrible. And I made $140 on Saturday when it was like super snowy and stuff like that. But all that's gone, obviously, to Portage Lakes, Portage County, whatever. And so now I have to pay a $500 deductible to get my car fixed because now my right light is dragging on the ground that I duct taped earlier today.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's been fucking terrible. And now I'm gonna run through this and hopefully this goes well. It's just been a fun time. Oh, yeah. How about you, man? How you been?
Oh, I've been pretty good.
That's good.
Been keeping up on doing a lot of artwork. Believe it or not, I'm starting on a depression themed coloring book.
Yeah, no, actually, I saw the other day that you posted a picture of Captain America. Yeah. And I thought you drew it and you were like, I color really well. I was like, oh, that's a coloring book. All right, yeah. I don't feel ass bad now. I was like, God, he's so talented.
Yeah, I was doing like some crossover research, you know, making sure to pick up a couple coloring books and read through shit. Plus what I like to do before I start an art project.
Well, hold on. Crossover research for what?
For this coloring book that I'm going to actually be doing. So, like, I need to make sure I got the formatting right.
Gotcha.
I don't want this to look like a janky, hastily scribbled coloring book.
So is it going to be like you know how some of the coloring books, they'll have, like, half the page drawn, and then they'll have, like, finish the other half. Yeah. It'll be, like, a dude holding a gun, and then, like, you have to finish the brains blowing out of the back of his skull.
Yeah, it's going
to
be all kinds of weird stuff. But yeah, what I like to do before I start doing, like, a big art project is I get a coloring book, and then I color everything in so I can get my color theory and everything back down pat. Plus, you know, it's fun.
Yeah. So I'm not going to lie. His Captain America looked very realistic. He had the nice 3D shading of everything. Mm-hmm. The shield looked great. The legs looked awesome. You're very good at shading legs, it seems.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
It's one of my favorite body parts.
So, so why the coloring book on depression?
Well, depression is an ongoing theme, especially in my comedy and my day-to-day life.
Oh, right.
Because I have anxiety and depression. So I kind of want to poke fun at that. You got to take away the power of whatever you got, you know.
Right.
That's what I do with the comedy, too. So I figured depression-themed comedy, coloring book, that's not something you see every day.
Not at all. Do you think of, who's the market? Like, are you going to sell it at your sets? Be like, yeah. Yeah, Bob told me earlier that he's been kind of down lately and shit. It's just been bad weeks for us, man. We're just, you know, living life and it's fucking terrible.
I could really use that coloring book right about now.
Well, we'll make sure we get you one on rush, man. We'll get everything done. It's going to be like 32 pages of a dude standing in line, so it'll be great.
That's the good joke, Bill. Way to go. You got one. So, yeah, you're a comedian, obviously. And what were you doing earlier tonight?
Well, I was running my show. I run a show at Michelle's Lounge in Kent.
Mm-hmm.
It's our Tuesday night mic. For the most part, it's mostly comedians. Not a whole lot of crowd. It's kind of a newer establishment. It's only been open for about a year-ish.
Do you guys only comic open mic, or do you guys also do music as well?
No, it's just they have another separate day for the music. It's actually Thursday, I believe. It's run by The Help.
Okay.
From Akron.
All right. Right on.
But yeah, the owner is really cool, and he just lets us come in, hang out, do our thing. Occasionally we have a crowd, sometimes we don't.
Now, is Michelle's the same place that has like the three judges for the comedy?
Yeah, we used to do that back in its early inception with the gentleman. He was kind of getting a feel for comedy. He's also a podcaster.
Okay. Shout him out.
It's Michael Carino. Yeah.
That's also the shout-out bell.
Oh, nice.
It's dual purposed.
Oh, yeah, he was doing what he could, and we were trying to make everything work. It was kind of a variety show idea, like gong show.
Did you guys have a gong to be like, fuck you, get off the stage?
No, but we should have. It would have made things a little spicier.
One of the first times that we had Chad Weaver, well, the only time that we had Chad Weaver on, it was like right after the night that he lubed himself up and jumped on the judges' table.
Yeah.
Were you there for that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Chad's a funny
fun
guy.
Time.
Yeah. So you've been running that show for how long?
Since August. So we've done 27 shows.
Sorry about that interruption. There was someone tapping on the window, and the computer just fucked up. Hopefully that doesn't happen again. So you're 27 shows. I'm not really sure what we were talking about right after that happened, because the window knocked happened, and now we're not... Sean could be watching us.
Everything got confusing.
I'm not sure. Sean didn't...
Mothman or something stopped by, and...
Mothman prophecies.
Oh, jeez. People are going to be bleeding from their ears pretty soon.
Did you see Mothman prophecies?
Yeah.
Long
time ago.
It was
a movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Well, to clarify, a car pulled in the driveway, and I looked out the window, and I saw Sean come up to the back door
with two red eyes,
and then he didn't come inside, and then he left, and he knocked on the window, and then the car left.
I wonder if that was like, I'm okay, everything's fine.
Yeah. Maybe, like, I don't know, like, his car is not out there. It's not like he came to grab something out of his car.
Right.
Like, why did he even stop here?
Did you see what kind of car it was?
No, I didn't see.
Oh, my God. Who knows? But it was Sean.
Yeah.
Weird. We'll keep you updated on if Sean's dead or not or whatever is happening. But, yeah, so you're running the show at Michelle's.
Yep. Bad jokes, what we call it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, bad jokes.
Right on.
We don't know what kind of bad. Is it bad like those jokes are awful, or is it bad like Michael Jackson bad?
Oh, shit. Do you guys like just have like all local, or do you guys get people from out of state to come on as well?
Whoever wants to show up. We've had a couple people from out of state. A guy from Chicago, really, really early on when the show was kind of rocky. But yeah, most local people. Yeah, people from Cleveland.
Why was the show rocky? Like, was it when you saw the three judges? Was
yeah,
it like, why
yeah.
am I being judged for my jokes? This
yeah,
is what we don't want as a comedian.
It was a strange format, you know. It was just like too many things going on at once. Plus, all comedians got fragile egos.
And that is odd. So did they score? Did they all hold up like card numbers, like when like they were done, like as like a diving sport or
something? Not even. It was just like, you know. So that sucked.
Oh wow!
Next person, like
so they would like it was almost like they commentate on what was happening.
It was
just three people.
It was weird.
Was it all
the
same judges?
No, it was different people
every time.
For the most part, we'd try to cycle people in who had just been there to perform.
Was there like criteria to be a judge?
Not really.
Wow.
That'd
so I could just walk in and be like, "Hey, I want to judge somebody."
Yeah.
Were you?
No, because I was a judge. Like at one point, like there was nobody to judge, so they pulled me up and I just talked shit.
Oh wow!
Basically, but that was like encouraged, right?
Yeah, it was like, "Hey, come on in, be mean. We can be mean to each other and." We're not going to give you a prize or anything, but come on in, say horrible shit. And that's more or less
strange.
What happened.
It's very odd that like any comedian would want to come back and do that again.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I got torn apart after I told my jokes that I thought they were funny. I was told they weren't.
Yeah.
Not just by the people not laughing, but actually by their mouths.
Yeah, by the comedians.
With the microphone as well.
Yeah. Well, we've revamped everything. We've been making sure to keep it interesting, though, because we started out very quirky.
Mm-hmm.
So
how do you mean?
Because it was a strange format to begin with. Which kind of opens up a lot of doors. You can do whatever you want after that. So we do a theme show every month. And this past month, we did random set lists. Had to draw stuff from a hat, make up stuff on the spot.
Wow.
We're going to be doing that again here next Tuesday.
That's insane. How does that go over?
It goes pretty well. It's fun because you've got people who rely on their own material a lot. And they just pull something like, dogs and bananas. How can we work this into a set?
A dog fucking a banana. That's all I got.
Anything. I did Batman Needs Braces was one of them I had written out in there.
Did you do it in the Christian Bale voice? Was that
it
part
was,
of it?
Yeah, it was just like one of those things that like, I think Jorge De La Rosa actually pulled that. He nailed it. I couldn't come up with anything. That's why I just wrote the concept. I was like, ah.
So you write all the concepts?
For the most part, I took a poll
of people.
You just
like Google, like you did Google two words or like.
Well, I took a poll of people and then I wrote a bunch of them out. And then I came up with like 150 of them.
How do you poll?
I was just asking people like,
where were you at? Where were you getting this?
It was just a Facebook thing. I was asking people and they're like, yeah, this would be funny. One of the funniest ones that somebody came up with was being reincarnated as a voice in someone else's head.
That'd be fucked.
Yeah. So I've been using that as a joke lately because that idea. So whenever I can't think of something. Untimely erections was one of them. Yeah.
Untimely erections. Yeah. That was like my high school career.
Cocaine toothpaste. food mascots as private detectives.
Cocaine toothpaste. Can't feel my mouth. Yeah. That sounds like a fun time, though.
Anesthetic and disinfectant at the same time.
Cocaine's a disinfectant. Yeah. I didn't know. Or is it just mixed with toothpaste, which would
just
be
mixed with.
Okay, gotcha. I was like, I didn't know that cocaine was medically used for disinfectant.
Sigmund Freud's Listerine. Bring it in.
What was that? There's the Power Rangers one. Which one was that?
No, it's Power Rangers remade by the Conservative Party movement. The Zord is just a huge moose. They know, all their weapons are just different versions of assault rifles. The pink camo ranger has an AR-15. It's gonna take down those bad guys.
Fox Power Rangers.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, let's take a break and then we'll get into your whole life.
Cool.
Hey guys, it's Sean Ast here. And when I'm not drunkenly tapping on windows, I like to listen to Lousy Weather Media on lousyweathermedia.com.
And we're back. Oh my God, what a break. All right, so where were you born, AJ?
I was born in Elwood City, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, right on. I played a band out there. Where's Elwood at?
Elwood is about, I want to say around 42 miles from Pittsburgh.
Okay, right on. Yeah, I practice in a place called New Kensington, which is about like 16 miles away. It's where the Dogma Abortion Clinic was, if you recall. I just saw it the other day. It was amazing.
Yeah.
How long did you live there?
I lived there until I was 18.
Oh, wow. So you went to school out there.
I went to school. Yeah, I went to Riverside High School. Very boring. Very small town, Elwood City. We got about 2,000-ish people, according to the last census. It's about 4 square miles.
Oh,
very tiny.
Right on.
And it's landlocked. It's like at the bottom of a basin. So everyone knows everybody.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
Little towns scare me because I feel like in the dawn of like Facebook, everyone's in everyone's business, but at least it's business that you put out onto the internet.
Yeah.
And with a small town, it's like, no, we know that because we know that person. He lives right there. Look at him. He's a fuck up. Like that type of shit.
Yeah. They all talk. I mean, it was primarily an immigrant town. I mean, because steel was still big there and steel never actually left. My father's been working in a steel mill since 1974.
Does he still live out there? He
still lives there. Yeah.
Oh, right on.
Parents have been married for almost, will be 40 years this year.
Wow.
Actually, come to think of it.
Wow.
I was their first kid.
True romance story.
Yeah.
So you went to school out there the entire time. I mean, what'd you do when you were a kid?
I played a lot of soccer. Played soccer for a good 17
what was
years
your,
of my
what,
life.
I have to ask this for Sean. What was your position?
I played defender. I was actually on the left wing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, because
a lot of running in soccer.
Yeah. I was always very in shape until I was about 21, and then I got fat. That's kind of how it works.
21, that seems young to hit that wall.
Well, it was one of those things, though, that like by the time I was 8 years old, I was playing soccer year-round. And when you do the math from the age of 4 to the time you're 21, it's around 56 seasons. So.
Wow.
Like, I don't have much cartilage left in the knees.
Were you doing indoor and outdoor?
Doing indoor and outdoor, yeah.
Right on. Are the indoor fields smaller than the outdoor?
Yeah, it's a lot like hockey.
Okay.
Very fast.
Yeah.
You got 5 people on each side.
Reminds me of the. Do you remember in Starship Troopers when they're playing football, but they're like in the, like a 30-yard football area? Like they're like running like touchdown to touchdown, basically.
Yeah, it's nice fast paced stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And they what was it, the 5-lock lipstick or some shit like that? That was the whole. That was the little play that they had. Do you remember Starship Troopers, Bob?
Yeah.
Okay. You played soccer.
Mm-hmm. Played soccer.
Your entire career of high school and elementary?
Yeah, I did all that. I played on our varsity team. Occasionally I would do JV as well, so I'd play 2 games in one day, which was nuts. I was, by the time I was a senior, as a starter. we ended up going to the Whippy Old Finals, Western PA. Did all that stuff. Ended up winning. Went on to states. Got eliminated in the first round. And this is going to be fun because this will tie into the rest of the story.
Okay.
My last game of soccer, I was up. We were playing against Center, which was one of our rivals. Ended up getting out of our division because their school dropped down and, you know, attendance, whatever. So we're playing. There's this kid. I was busting my ass the whole game. You know, I was marking this one kid, really wiry. His name's Chris. We're not gonna go into what his name, full name is.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm marking this kid the whole game. I'm sliding. We're playing on turf. We're actually playing in Ambridge, PA. Tore up the side of my ass, so I'm like limping halfway through the game. Then I slide in on this kid, and he kicked me right in the face.
Cleats out or cleats in?
Oh, it was cleats in. Mm-hmm. So it like bounced off the side of my head, made my left eye swell up like crazy. I ended up playing through the rest of the game. We lost. Whatever. They went on. I think they got eliminated next round. Okay. So I was also, when I was a kid, I was big into art. Comic books. Did a lot of reading.
What did you? What was your favorite comic book?
I was big into Batman and Spider-Man. I ended up getting more of an appreciation for everything like later on in life.
Definitely,
in my 20s.
That's exactly how I was as well. I had the Aliens versus Superman book. I bought it at the shop across from Woodsy's, the one that's only open like one day a week with the cat that's always in the window.
Yeah.
It's also sun-dried as the comics are. You know?
He's just smoking in there watching Law & Order reruns.
The cat, Not the dude.
Not the cat.
Does that guy live there?
I don't know.
I feel like he does. He's like, but only Wednesdays from 4 to 6 we're open. I'm like, how is this in business?
He's a mystery, man. I don't know what's going on. That's the thing. About Elwood City, too, we've got one of the biggest comic shops in the Eastern Seaboard. It's humongous. It's called New Dimension Comics.
Where's this?
In Elwood City.
Oh, right on.
And they have a biannual, like every year they do, twice a year, they do a dollar basement sale. So you can go in and get like a hot comic from 1991 for a buck.
Oh, Killing Joke. What do you know?
Yeah.
Hardcover.
It's pretty rad. They did a mini doc on the place. The owner ended up getting the very first Batman.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Detective Comics 27.
That
front
is
page
crazy.
News in my hometown.
I mean, that's obviously, what's that?
Damn. That's sweet.
That's like, I mean, now that's news and anywhere. I feel like that would be like a news on like HuffPo, like fucking like some dudes like, oh, a local comic shop of Elwood?
Elwood City.
Elwood City gets Detective Comics 27. How much does that go for, do you think?
That goes right now, according to, because it's the second rarest comic. First being Action Comics 1.
Right.
That'll net you around $500,000. Action Comics 1.
Really? I thought it was a million.
No. Depending on the state of it, I would imagine it could go for more because they do that whole rating system. But Detective Comics 27, that's a good chunk of change. It's like a $125,000 comic.
Now, you said you were into Spider-Man. How do you feel about the new Spider-Man that's happening now from Marvel Comics? This was big news to me. I was very stoked about it that he's going to be in the Civil War movie, the Captain America one. I feel like that's going to be the first portrayal of him.
I really wish they would like finally go with a different Spider-Man rather than Peter Parker.
Oh, you want Miles Morales?
I would like Miles
Morales. Did you read Ultimate?
I read a little bit here and there. I've only recently got back into that.
Ultimate's fantastic. It's one of my favorite.
It still is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I haven't I read like the first like 9 issues of the Miles Morales, but I have everything up to that from the Peter Parker. And that comic takes you on a complete like just journey of awesomeness.
Yeah.
And it's cool because it's a reimagining of like, you know, the Amazing Spider-Man and stuff like that. And they also have like what is it? Ben Reilly, was that the clone?
Ben Reilly was the clone. Yeah, he was Scarlet Spider for the longest time.
Yeah, yeah, that blue jacket with the red. Oh yeah. God, every Halloween I'm like, I want to go as him. I was like, I'm too weird, chubby to go in the spandex.
He had a cooler suit too, you know.
You think?
Yeah, I really liked it. Hey, for a while he had that red and black one, right? That was him, wasn't it?
Miles Morales is the red and black.
That's Miles.
But the Scarlet one had the blue, like one with the hood, and then it was like a baby blue, like powder blue and red, and then he had like the web shooters out of like his arm that were like all silver, like bullets.
Mm-hmm.
That was him. Yeah, I've seen that a lot of cosplays, but like I said, I don't know if I can pull off one of those, like you know, like Green Man from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yeah, I was thinking about getting one of those, but in red, and then they're like, I'll just get a blue hoodie. I'm like, I just get fat in weird places, like my ass and my tummy. I look like a midget, basically. Like,
aging is fun.
Yeah, it's a blast. Well, and beer and pizza don't help at all. I was really stoked to hear that he's coming back to the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about the Cinematic Universe?
They've been doing a pretty good job. I mean, they've kept it interesting, action-packed. I mean, they keep making money.
And not only that, I mean, Guardians of the Galaxy, that blew my mind. I was like, what the fuck is this? And then, like, the raccoon, what was his name? Rocket?
Yeah.
Yeah, Rocket Raccoon. I was like, oh my, and Groot, even, like, all of them, like, Star-Lord, they're all sick as fuck. Really enjoy them.
I like when they, like, pull out that hidden gem that nobody knows about, and they're like, oh, we're going to revitalize this.
Not like that. Into it. I mean, like, you see that, like, they made so much money off Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. Like, Disney and Marvel can do anything now.
Mm-hmm. Plus, the cast was just insane. You're like, what's Dave Bautista doing in this? And Vin Diesel? And he's only saying one thing the entire movie?
I am Groot.
How did they get Vin Diesel to do that?
I don't know.
He played the Iron Giant.
Yeah.
Tree, rock.
One of his first roles.
Really?
Iron Giant, yeah.
No shit.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Then
yeah.
He popped up in Saving Private Ryan.
I don't remember that.
Shot by a sniper. He's in there for like 5 seconds.
I remember Triple X, that one, mm-hmm. when he's like fucking grinding rails with like a dinner sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a blast.
Yeah, I've always been, you know, interested in comic books because I draw, you know. For the most part, for most of my life, I wanted to be an artist more than anything. And I learned, you know, a lot of drawing and like action and shit from comic books. My biggest influence, at least in my early days of reading comic books and stuff, was actually Frank Miller's take on Terminator versus RoboCop.
Oh, wow.
Which was actually a really rad story.
Right on. Didn't they just reboot RoboCop as a comic and they based it off Frank Miller, or did he write the first one?
They've done a few RoboCop stories recently, and one of them I'm pretty sure Frank Miller wrote, but then they did just reboot RoboCop as, like, just RoboCop number one.
Mm-hmm.
Is that Frank Miller or no?
I don't think so.
Right on. Dark Knight Returns is one of my favorite, and also his run on Daredevil is fucking incredible. Yeah. That's one of my favorite comic series.
He's an interesting dude as far as reimagining things, too. Like, and his thing with Dark Knight Returns was, he's like, I'm 29 years old. He's like, Batman's still 29 years old. He's been around since the 40s.
Yeah.
I'm going to make him 55.
How do you feel about Ben Affleck taking like on that role of the older Batman?
It could be interesting.
I noticed your apparel. He has a Batman shirt with a Superman hoodie over it, but it zipped down enough so you can tell that Batman's underneath.
Yeah,
it.
He's always close to me. Always close.
So that was like one of your big like inspirations for art.
Yeah, it was just interesting and different. Plus, they intertwined those two stories so well, because the whole thing was they sent a woman back in time to take out RoboCop, who later led to the production of Skynet.
Oh, wow.
So it was like a perfect melding of the two. And I've always wanted to see it kind of as a series, but they've never done a series with it as far as like animated.
That's insane. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't Sarah Connor, right?
No, they sent it back because they sent the woman back to Detroit to kill Alex Murphy,
mm-hmm.
RoboCop. And they had no mention of Sarah Connor at all. But they were doing all kinds of weird shit. Like they were sending dog Terminators back in time and shit. Like, why did they do this in the movie? This would have been really cool.
Yeah, I feel like they would have fallen flat. Like, I don't know. Like, remember the dog alien in Alien 3, I think it was? It popped out of the dog's chest, and it's like, oh, no, it's a dog alien. It wasn't a humanoid.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that would have worked as well in the movies. But, so you wanted to be an artist. I mean, like, you've been drawing since, like, when?
Forever, man. As soon as I could grip a stubby child hand around a crayon, I've been drawing. My big thing when I was...
It was a lean soccer hand, don't lie.
When I was really young, I used to draw dinosaurs. I really loved dinosaurs. When I was 6, I wanted to be a paleontologist.
What year were you born?
I was born in 88.
88, so Jurassic Park probably played a huge role in your...
It was fun stuff, man. The movie scared the shit out of me.
Have you seen it lately? Still holds up insanely well. That CGI is incredible.
Yeah.
Which blows my mind with why CGI looks so bad in so many other movies that came after that.
It was, well, CGI is a lot like sound. Okay, when sound became a big thing in movies, as soon as they started incorporating sound, it was just like, oh my God, there's way too much going on. That's the same way we are with CGI right now.
Well, no, I'm more so saying like you look at like Jurassic Park, and then you look at something else that has CGI in it that looks bad after it. Because, I mean, like the
Green Lantern.
Exactly. Yeah. And there was a lot of CGI. And what? That came out in like 2008 or 9?
Yeah.
Maybe later? Probably 2010. But like you look at that and like it's just weird to me that like they couldn't hone the resources to make it look good after like they made such like a triumph of Jurassic Park.
Yes, you got to keep on with the practical effects too. You got to put those two things together so it looks good.
That's exactly what I was about to say. They filled in the gaps with what they knew they couldn't do with robotics, and that's why it looks so good.
Yeah,
you
they
think
didn't, they didn't bite off more than they could chew?
Because I remember
by that.
I remember being a little kid and like watching Jurassic Park and being like, oh man, I wish that T-Rex would have been CGI, like when they had the close up, because it. Or just all of them practical, but obviously they couldn't make a T-Rex running towards a car practical.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, you even look back to Aliens and, like, when the Queen's running at it. I mean, like, it looks kind of like a puppet, but at the same time, they have the entire thing in frame running at the camera.
Special effects is just an art, man. It's, like, Western PA is known for that, too, because Tom Savini, he's from Pittsburgh.
Really?
Greg Nicotero, he does Walking Dead and everything. He's from Pittsburgh as well. Wow.
They have great practical effects on that. The one thing that bums me out about awesome. Walking Dead is the fake blood. It kind of takes me out of it because I'm like, that looks kind of shitty.
Yeah, I've got all kinds of respect for those guys. Yeah, the one thing, though, that the CGI has done as far as making something else cool is that...
Pacific Rim, well, I know.
Well, haunted houses have become really rad.
Oh, right on.
Because they've put so many people that worked in practical effects out of work. That like, they're now working.
Now we have to go here.
Now they're doing shit in haunted houses.
That's insane. Yeah. I never thought about that.
It's really weird.
That's where they go to die. But yeah, so you were drawing from a young age. What deterred you from drawing?
Well, the thing was, I was in this mindset, especially when I was around 18, that there was no money in art, which is a complete fallacy, man.
Was that your family? They're like, don't fucking do this. Here's steel welded into something.
Yeah, well, I was going to be the first of like my lineage to actually go to college. And I did. I went to Youngstown State, went for psychology, and then later psychology and English.
Really?
So I was there for a while.
Yeah, I would
Youngstown.
Imagine.
And it's funny because in the last... 3-4 years, I've made a lot of money on paintings and shit like that.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you paint?
Selling to friends and stuff like that. Recently I got really into working with aerosol acrylic paints. So not quite spray paint, a little more fine tuned, but do that on canvas, and I've been selling that here and there. Sometimes stenciling, sometimes freehand stuff.
Now is that like airbrushing?
More or less, because the aerosol acrylic is like a lower pressure. So you've got more control over it.
Okay.
It's real fun. So you can do all kinds of cool psychedelic shit that you wouldn't normally be able to do. And still, you can do stencil work, like if you're trying to be Banksy.
Right on. Obey. Yeah. So when you do that type of work, like, I mean, I just painted the other day for the first time in probably 15 years. And it was fucking really hard to get the brush to do what I wanted, to like understand like how much paint I had on the brush and like what it was gonna do and stuff like that. I would assume that has like the same type of like,
yeah, I like novelty though. Like I'll pick up something new and mess around with it just because I want to stimulate my brain and you know, work through something and problem solve and figure out new techniques and stuff.
So what do you mean by novelty?
Like especially with like the aerosol paints, I was like, I'd never worked with spray paint at all. What can I do with this? So I started messing around here and there. My big thing for this summer, what I'm going to try to do is, they have Never Wet now. You heard about Never Wet, right?
No.
Never Wet's like a hydrophobic solution.
Okay? It's scared so of water.
Repels water.
Oh, okay.
So you can put it on your clothes. Clothes won't get dirty.
Oh, it's right cool. on.
So it's hydrophobic. So if you use like water-based paint, right? You can spray paint something in with the hydrophobic solution, then hit that with paint, and it will repel the paint into that design.
Whoa.
So I'm going to try to mess around with that.
So do you put the water down first? Or?
You would do it afterwards, you know? Spray paint a design, then put a design over top of it with, like, the Never Wet, and then hit it with some water-based paint. Repel the paint.
Wild.
Yeah.
That's really cool. So what got you into comedy?
Comedy is a strange thing. It was something that I was always a fan of. Especially as a kid, I remember, you know, watching things on Comedy Central and specials, and a lot of the early stuff was like Bill Cosby himself. Boo.
Not fucking,
not then.
Yeah. 7 years ago, it was totally
seven
fine.
7 years, completely fine. but like, there was that. I remember watching that with my mother and her being like, this is one of the funniest things that you're ever going to see. It's hilarious.
He didn't date rape anybody. He's fine. Don't worry.
But I remember watching that. I remember watching a lot of the hacky comedians. Like, I remember watching Gallagher.
Right on.
Because they would play his stuff at like 2 in the morning on Comedy Central. I would sit down in my basement. I'd watch that. And then I got big into like Dave Attell.
Okay.
Skanks for the Memories was actually the very first album I ever had. So I still remember most of it verbatim.
Have you watched his show, Old Porn?
I've watched a little bit of that, yeah.
Right, I've never caught it, but I've heard a lot about it.
He's a funny dude.
Very much so. Yeah, he was the guy that did the drinking shows as well, right?
Yeah, like he did Insomnia.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for them to bring that back.
I think his liver died.
Maybe.
I think that's why they couldn't keep up with it.
Need another liver transplant.
His mom's on the table just like Nathan Explosion. Yeah. But comedy has always been there. It's been a thing. I remember reciting Mitch Hedberg a lot to my friends when I was in high school.
If only Sean Ass was here. That's like one of his favorite comedians. You know, I would get in his car and we'd go to drive to practice and he would play comedy albums. I'm like, so we're just not going to talk? And he's like, no, this is really good. And I'm like, so no, we're not. Okay, right on. I'm glad that it was like early podcasting. You ever put on a podcast with someone else in the car?
No.
Really kills really the mood for them. Like, you might enjoy it, but they're like, I don't give a fuck about this. I'm like, no, Chris Hardwick has really good views.
You don't want to listen to Fat Man on Batman with me?
Yeah, it's great. Okay. No, Grant Morrison's on. You can't understand a word he's saying.
I was deep into my LSD haze.
Yeah. But way thicker Scottish.
And that's when I realized that maybe I should rewrite Superman and make the best Superman.
Grant Morrison is a fucking mind blower of a fucking writer. Like his Batman RIP, that type of stuff where he ties everything together, even like Batmite, you're like, how can you make Batmite cool? Like how?
He's a wild dude. But yeah, comedy, I remember in college too, a friend of mine, he would always come up to me and be like, do Mitch Hedberg. No, you want to do it.
That's so weird. Wait, was this before the internet? You're like, just YouTube him, asshole.
No, he could, but he's like, he
liked your portrayal.
Because I had the real long hair. I had long hair up until like last year.
How about the heroin addiction?
We're working on that.
Okay, right on.
That's for future. You got to die by 27. I've only got a couple months left.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, I had a friend. His name was Matt Butler. He'd come up to me all the time. He'd be like, you got to show this dude your Mitch Hedberg. So I'd put my hair in front of my face and be like, you know, if an escalator breaks down, it can just become stairs. Escalator temporarily stairs. Sorry for the convenience. And you get into the whole character, stare at the floor.
But always holding the one drink.
Yeah, yeah. The thing was, and like, I did my college thing. You know, I was involved in a fraternity at the time.
Wow, how was that?
It was a dub. It was.
Are you a big fan of fraternities, Liz?
It was a strange experience.
He doesn't have enough boat shoes to be in a fraternity.
And,
games.
I appreciate the experience, but it's not something that like I can fully recommend because I was like,
was it like the pickle in the ass and that type of stuff?
It was nothing like that. But it was just a fish out of water situation because I had people who went to my high school.
Makes for great movies.
Yeah. Had a bunch of friends from my high school who were in this fraternity. And they're like, you might as well join. I'm like, yeah, cool. I'll meet some people. So I end up joining this thing. And I was in psychology and English, surrounded by dudes who are all engineers. So I'm like, we have nothing in common, guys. So this is cool. Plus, I had long hair. I was always wearing real tight pants, a lot of black, like a lot of Misfits t-shirts. They're like, what the hell's wrong with this dude? He's creepy. He paints his fingernails.
Oh, really? Did you Carson Daly leave the one unpainted?
No, I'd do the whole thing.
Oh, right on.
The whole thing.
Good for you.
Dyed my hair black and all that. I ended up living there, too, in their fraternity house. It was on the north side of Youngstown. And rent was cheap, man. It's like $250.
Was there any hazing at all?
No, there's no hazing. That was a big thing with them, is that they're like, we're haze-free fraternity. I was like, good, because I don't want to have to kill people.
So what so what makes it a fraternity then? Because all I know from fraternities is that you shit on people that are freshmen.
Well, it was
got to break them in so they can get a job and be like, you can keep secrets, obviously.
It was a lot of camaraderie. They were all very smart people, which was nice. I liked getting different viewpoints from people that were interested in mathematics, because I was never big in that. And like we always were top in grades.
How do you mean, like, logical? Like,
they're very astute individuals for the most part. You know, a very varying myriad of religions and political views. So you got a lot of interesting stuff, interesting people. You had those occasional idiots that were end up in there, and for those people, they ended up being like the outcasts of the group because they weren't smart. Because our fraternity, we were always like number one grades and stuff like that. We averaged like a 3.8.
Wow.
So we were all smart dudes. Like half of the people that I went with, they were all scholars. They were all going to fucking college for free.
That's insane.
So that was interesting. And we had those typical nights that you'd have at fraternities. Most of the time, we'd be the responsible ones to call the cops. We had situations that would occur because it's the north side of Youngstown.
This is the nicest fraternity ever.
But it was a fun time. But it's one of those things that, like, I don't, you should never have to pay for friends. I don't believe in any
so
of that.
So you do have to pay to get into it. How much did that run you?
I can't remember what it was. I remember our dues being really high at the time. I think it was close to $400 a semester, something like that.
Wow.
But it was a lot. I met a lot of cool people.
That's like one book.
Yeah. Some people that I'm still in contact with. And that's peripherally related to how I got into comedy. Because my friend Matt Butler, the one who made me do the Mitch Hedberg thing, he ended up getting involved with another fraternity. And he was a couple years younger than me. And I was at a party. I was like right after I got out of college. I ended up dropping out. I was working at Walmart. I was like, I need to make sure I can actually pay for this because my scholarship had run out. Because I had it was the red and white, university red and white. So they paid for half my tuition.
So for the
most part. You had to have over like a 3.5 in high school, and you had to finish within like the top 15% of your graduating class. I think I was in the top 10.
Oh, nice.
So it wasn't anything. You know, I've always been able to read a book and remember shit. But I was talking with him. I was at a party. I just got done working a shift. I was working with Walmart. I was very tired, despondent, and just hanging out outside. And he's like, you know, we're always talking about comedy. I was like, yeah, man. He's like, well, my friend right here, he's a comedian. I was like, sweet. And he's like, yeah, he's kind of like, he's been like the replacement you. And I'm like, well, that makes me feel like shit. But cool, I'll meet him.
And you're a psych major. You're reevaluating the situation way more than you should be.
So I meet this kid. He's a real rad dude. His name's Eric Lewis. He's a Youngstown-based comedian. He was dressed as Tyler Durden at the time.
Oh,
his Halloween party.
Gotcha.
He had a really good makeup as far as like the black eye and everything. He had the same color leather jacket. He
How about
did a good
the
job.
Abs?
He did not have the abs.
Ah, okay. So fat Tyler Durden. But unbuckle your seatbelt, everybody.
But I meet this guy and I'm like, you know, it's like, so you're a comedian? He's like, yeah. I was like, I don't even know how you get started in being a comedian. He's like, oh, well, there's open mics. I'm like, oh, that sounds interesting. He's like, well, there's this one at Milo's Lounge. It's in Niles. I was like, cool. He's like, so Monday nights at 9 o'clock. I was like, all right. And I put that in my back pocket for almost a year and a half. So I've been working at Walmart, and I had this habit of like writing down stupid things that people would say. Because I love that sort of thing.
It's almost like Twitter on paper.
Yeah, it's Twitter on paper. Except you're not screaming into an empty room.
Twaper.
Yeah. So I would write shit down, and I started writing out some stuff, and it was coming up on the 2012 apocalypse time.
Oh yeah, the Mayans, they had it down.
And I was like, there's no way a stone tablet could be correct. But in the event, let's say theoretically it would happen,
right,
what is that one thing that I've always wanted to do that I haven't done? Comedy. Cool.
Oh, I thought I was gonna be like, fuck a black girl.
So it was put that on the list somewhere.
Comedy was above.
It's on
it,
the fuck it list. It's near the bucket list. We keep them separated.
Fuck it,
we don't
bucket.
Want those two mingling.
Gotcha. Black people in comedy? I'm sorry, no good.
But it was December 10th, 2012, and I just got done with work, and I was doing my usual thing. I get back. I was living in Austintown. Get home, and I'm like, maybe I should try doing comedy today. I don't know about it. So I had a bass that I used to play. And anytime my neighbors would fight, I would start playing the bass to them fighting. So
like,
it was like I was doing my own CSI like score to them possibly murdering one another.
That's amazing.
They'd be like, I hate you, Mom. Bam, bam,
bam, bam. It's just like a Seinfeld episode, but with actual real problems.
It was hilarious. So I'm doing that, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. So I drink a Red Bull.
Yeah, like, as you do.
Like, I want to get amped up if I'm going to do this.
Get some wings.
I write out everything. And then I'm like, I don't know if I like this. So I get into my car. I'm like, okay, I'm going to drive out. I'm not going to tell anybody that I'm going to do this. Because if I'm going to bomb, I'm going to bomb, disappear.
That blows my mind. There's some comedians that are like, everyone come out to my first set. And I'm like, why would you want to watch you like you fail?
It's like, you don't want to watch Jimi Hendrix when he doesn't have thumbs.
Was that a thing?
No. I just made that.
You had robotic thumbs. No one
knows
that.
Stupid analogy up right now.
I like that.
But like,
it's
like
watching Jimi Hendrix without thumbs.
You don't want to watch somebody who's just learning to walk, you know? So I go out to
understand kids.
Yeah, I go out to this mic, and it's This bar is impossible to find. I drove by it 4 times. I'm like rehearsing shit in my head. I'm like turning down the radio. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to forget anything. I don't even know what I'm going to say.
How many Red Bulls are you in?
That was only one.
Okay.
You know.
I don't know if it was like, my heart's jumping out of my chest. Like, I hate this. Oh my God.
I'm having the slowest heart attack in history. But I passed this place like 4 times because I didn't know where it was. So I had to turn around this Planet Fitness parking lot, you know, and I'd drive back. And this place, this bar is behind a tattoo parlor.
Okay.
So I finally find the door. It's a side door. So I go in there. And the first person I talk with is the bartender. And I'm like, is there an open mic going on here today? And she's like, yeah. And I was like, can I have a Yingling? She's like, yeah, here you go. And then she's like, hey, Jay, this guy wants to go up tonight. And Jay pops out of nowhere. Jay Mills, he's a host at this time.
I was hoping it was Jason Mewes.
Pops out of nowhere and he's like, so you want to go up? Cool, I got you at 4. And I was like, oh shit. Well, it looks like I'm doing this then.
I'm a comedian.
So, you know, I'm freaking out that the entire time waiting to go up on stage, as people are wont to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I watched some people, very interesting people that I'm now friends with. You know, I met Tim Wolf that night. I met Joe McCormick, Eric Cribbley, a bunch of the people, the Youngstown people. And it's time for me to go up.
Was Tom Nelson there?
Tom Nelson was not there.
Okay.
I met Tom Nelson after... about 6 months into comedy.
Friend of the show, Tom Nelson. Yeah, and Tim Wolf as well, and Eric Gribble.
Yeah, I know Tom pretty well. I went to his mic once in Steubenville. That was a fun time.
Yeah, Steubenville. Yeah. I would imagine that'd be a really fun crowd to do jokes in
front of. It was interesting, to say the least. But yeah, the first performance I ever had, I don't remember it.
Oh, you were wasted.
Oh, no. I had like real bad tunnel vision. I was freaking out.
Oh, so it's just in the anxiety that you were talking about.
I do remember... I was leaning on the mic stand and messing with the microphone, and I kept hearing it squeak, and I was like, I hope they don't hear this squeaking.
I am way too aware. There's way too much Red Bull in my bloodstream now.
If you were to drain my blood right now, you'd poison people. Like, I would burn straight through the floor like in the Alien movies. Like, I'm doing this thing, and I was talking about, I remember what I was talking about a little bit. I was talking about beards.
Okay.
I had a huge beard at the time.
Right on. And not to replay the bit, but I mean, like.
From what I remember, it was beards are one of the few things that you can do, and people will congratulate you on, even though you're not doing anything.
Right on.
That's like, good. People get excited about that. And they're like flying a flag that people are going to offer you drugs. Like, that's like, if you have a beard, everyone's going to offer you drugs.
Really?
So I talked about that, and then I did one of my first jokes I ever wrote was about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Now, this one I can remember, and it was I don't understand why the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles wear masks. It's not like they're hiding their identity.
They do go to the sewers afterwards.
They are 6-foot-tall turtles, and they live in New York City. So I do remember that part. And then we finished up, and I had caught the bug. I was like, I need to keep doing this because this is fun. I had a lot of fun meeting all these people, and it was nice to become part of like a niche community that nobody knows exists.
Right.
You know?
You're your own Ninja Turtles.
Yeah. So it was weird because when you start out doing comedy, like, you don't know where to go to do any comedy. You just know of that one place that you did that the one time.
Right.
So I was there at Milo's every week on Monday. Then I eventually started doing Eric Cribbley was running a late night mic at the Funny Stop.
Mm-hmm.
No, Funny Farm. Sorry. Don't want to plug the wrong place. Funny Farm. It was at 10:30 at night after a 3-hour show happened. So nobody wanted to be there, which was great because it was the first place I got to bomb. So I got to bomb nice and early.
Midday?
It was like the fifth time I was on stage. I had like a bunch of 50 somethings staring at me like, I'm pretty sure that kid sells crystal meth from a van.
If I could mention Walter White, I would.
Yeah.
I wasn't around then.
But like they were not into it. So I was like, okay, well, at least we got this experience out of the way. So from then on, I was like, I need to become better, and I started.
But your first time doing comedy, like, you didn't bomb?
I did not bomb, not horribly, not to my recollection. I remember getting a couple laughs, and I was like, that's enough, man.
Yeah,
that's all I need, some kind of recognition for something I've written, and it's different.
A little pat on the back.
Yeah,
you did good.
Yeah.
Ninja Turtles, though, I wanted to touch on this real quick. Did you know that it ties into Daredevils? like origin as well.
Really?
The isotope that blinded Daredevil was the isotope that made the Ninja Turtles.
Hmm.
In the original comics, yeah.
So good for turtles, bad for people.
Very
true.
Who
would have thought?
Yeah.
It's like
turns
many other
them
things.
Into kind of people and then makes a man blind.
Yeah. I guess you don't want any of that. Bad days. But yeah, man, ever since then, my big goal for that year was like, I want to do as many mics as I can. I want to see how many places I can get out to. I start keeping track of stuff, you know. I write down every set list that I do. I start recording everything after my fifth time on stage.
On your phone?
I had a digital recorder at the time, then I started doing it on my phone.
Oh, right on.
So, like, you can go back to when I was garbage, even more so than now. Like, as far as comedy, which is fun. So I did all that. Pretty soon, I started doing comedy more or less four nights a week. I started going down to Pittsburgh, meeting people.
Where did you play out in Pittsburgh?
I used to do this place, Smiling Moose.
Yeah, no, I played there.
It's a really rad bar, man.
Yeah,
I'm into that.
Upstairs, downstairs?
We were downstairs.
Oh, really? Like right in front of that screen?
Yeah, it's almost in the bathroom.
Like, yeah. That's exactly where it is. Yeah,
used to do that there. Derek Minto and John Pridmore used to run that.
Right on.
Then I started doing Ham Bones.
Both of them.
Yeah. Started doing Ham Bones in Lawrenceville. That was a Thursday night show. That was also Derek Minto. He still runs that. It's pretty cool room.
Bell joke.
For what it is. So, yeah. And I did a comedy contest early on. And the end of my first year of comedy, I did 152 shows.
Wow, that's insane. Yeah. Chris Hardwick always says, like, do 100 shows and you'll find your voice. Did you feel like you found your voice?
Yeah, I did. I started finally writing some material that I could get behind because you change a lot. Like, you start out and you're like, I got to talk about really dirty shit all the time. And then you realize, like, a year and a half in that you're like, anything can be funny? I'm going to write a joke about cats.
But it's all perspective. I mean, yeah. It's your spin on, like, whatever is happening.
It's really unique. You got to have a unique point of view. It takes you a while to find your voice, but as long as you can keep at it and keep getting on stage and just logging your time, man, they say mastery of something is 10,000 hours, right?
Right.
You're doing this 5 minutes at a time. So you better be doing a lot of shit as far as writing and figuring stuff out.
So you said 152 shows in the first year?
152 shows my first year.
I mean, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah, I started out with Jason Molterno. He's real cool. I started out with around the same time as Devin Connor.
Oh, right on, yeah.
Chad Weaver came around 6 months into my first year.
So you haven't been doing this for very long, though.
Not for very long. This is my third year.
Wow.
So I keep busy, and that's the big thing is, like, a lot of comedians will be like, never take any advice from anybody, but here's some advice, you know?
This is the golden
that's
egg
just the way
that
it
I
is.
Have.
Like, and you figure things out on your own. You know, so you got to be like, yeah, I got to write every day, at least a little bit. You want to write a joke just about every day. Most good comedians will write a couple hundred jokes in a day in a 3-hour session.
Jimmy Kimmel was like that. He's like, I would lock myself in a room for 8 hours and then
you just got to
just write and write and write. And it, like, 95% of it would be dog shit, but that 5% that was good, I mean, that's 5%, like, that's like a little bit of a set that you have now.
And then you just keep building, you take that one bit of that one joke and you sandwich it into another joke, and then you've got your perfect formula. And then you keep trying to work on your tight 5, and then your tight 10, and then your 25 so you can feature, and then your 45 minutes so you can headline, and you just keep building.
So where are you at now with, like how long could you go now? Like you feel comfortable with?
I could go a good 15, 20 minutes, but that would be rather relatively uncomfortable. I mean, I could do it, but it's not one thing that, like, I could do it, but I'm not ready for it.
Do you feel like you spoil yourself with, like, open mics when it's just 5 minutes and you know the heavy hitters that you can put up and, like, you know, people, like, knock the people down?
Well, you do a lot of that, and it's just like anything else. You got to keep finding different sample sizes and seeing where a joke works and what it works with and what age group. And it's like you're doing a marketing class, like you're into marketing or advertising.
Now, like, I mean, I've heard a lot of comedians say that, like, they will, I like, they'll see a room, they know that it's not their audience, but they'll still do exactly what they want to do. Do you have that same, like, frame of mind?
Well,
or do you kind of go around and be like, well, how can I make this work for this night?
Well, it's one of those yes and no situations, because about a year and a half in, I said to myself, I really want to write 5 minutes of SpongeBob SquarePants clean material.
So you could be on Nickelodeon.
So essentially, like, the jokes that I would write could be on a cartoon show.
Huh.
So I've taken that and ran with it. And I make sure to keep most of my stuff pretty clean. When you do it the first couple times at an open mic, you got to scrub all the fucks out of it and all the shits and whatnot. And then you've got a clean joke. And you're like, well, that was easier than I thought.
And, like, crafting the clean joke seems like an extremely hard thing to do because, like, you know, the fuck word or the cunt word or anything like that you throw in that's, like, abrasive, like, makes people react way more than if you're just telling, like, you know.
It's one of those things that you don't want to be relying on profanity.
Right.
Because it's like what they said about Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor, if you took out all the fucks in his specials, it's still hilarious.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why they had him on Saturday Night Live. Because he was just genuinely funny. And they knew that they could take a chance with him. So you got to think about that when you're doing a lot of comedy.
That's a really odd constraint for a comedian to have that we've had in here to, like, actually talk about. Because normally, like, I feel like people rely on the profanity, rely on the shock value of it. And were kind of, like, going around that and being like, I want to appeal to anyone and everyone.
I like that type of humor, too. There's a great appreciation for that because I like David Tell. And, like, a lot of dirty comedians. I like Bill Hicks a lot. And with that stuff, even with them, for the most part, you can get rid of a lot of the profanity. It's still funny.
Yeah.
So it's not something you want to rely on as a crutch, but it can be like a little, you know, sprinkle of some zestiness on top
right.
of things.
It'll actually make the fuck hit harder when you pull it out.
And I do have a joke that I pull out all the time, which is just about the phrase motherfucker. And it's in the absurdity of that phrase. And it's not so much just swearing to swear. It's more about, English language.
Right. Yeah. Like the punctuation of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like you're more so like looking at it as like a sentence. Like why, like where does this belong instead of like, how can I just like have this in there?
Yeah.
And you notice a lot of comedians, they will rely on like swearing and stuff like that. Even if they're like not trying to swear, they'll just like swear in it just to kind of like keep it going.
It's a very unique art form in that it's unlike music because you're naked, essentially, on stage.
Well, you don't have anyone else to blame.
Yeah. It's you and a mic stand. You can't hide behind a mic stand.
Right.
Like, a musician might be able to hide behind a guitar or, like, behind their bassist.
No. My head fucked up. It wasn't me. Yeah. I was doing great until my equipment.
Yeah, but with this, it's like, I mean, other than maybe reading beat poetry or, like, doing a sermon, there's nothing really like it.
Yeah, I feel like poetry would be really fucking hard to do because that's really like burying yourself. But also in the same vein as a comedian, I mean, you really be like, these are funny to me. And then you give that to somebody else and they're like, I don't find that funny. You're like, you don't like me then.
Yeah, it's one thing you got to learn not to take it personal because not every joke is for everybody.
Right.
And comedy is very subjective. Humor.
Yeah. I heard it referred to as cheese. Like, people are like, I love cheese, but there's a million different types of cheese. Yeah. And they're like, ooh, I don't like the way this smells or the way this looks or the way this tastes. Or I don't like this and this. And you're like, you only like provolone. Like, you know?
Yeah. And there's a specific brand for everybody. I mean, you've got absurdist comedians that just do really crazy shit. And you've got people that do anti-comedy that don't even actually write punchlines. You know, like Neil Hamburger. You ever listen to Neil Hamburger?
No, I have not.
So the best illustration of anti-comedy is the old joke about why did the chicken cross the road to get to the other side?
Yeah.
That's anti-comedy.
Oh, okay. So like no like real
there's
punch
no turn.
Line.
There's
no
turn to it. And that's Neil Hamburger. It's hilarious. It's a character, but it's really funny.
That has to be so hard to pull off.
That can be people's cup of tea. You got one-liner comedians.
Yeah, I feel
Stephen
like
Wright's and
like Twitter has really like expelled that notion of people of like here's 140 characters, like here's just this. And like Mitch Hedberg even like way before Twitter, obviously. But I mean, he definitely had those like just like little beats.
Yeah.
Not like Mike Birbiglia, like who like will go through an entire story of like but has its own beats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like what kind of not what kind of comedian, but like how do you write? Like
how do I write? I have a very strange method. The first time I go on stage, I typically just have a list of bullet points.
Mm-hmm.
They're like topics that I've just been thinking about in my own head. You know, I'm like, how can I make this funny? So I try and make it funny. So I normally do that on a Sunday. And then from that, I'll take that. I'll listen to the recording that I had, figure out what worked, what didn't, and then start writing a joke based on that. So you take that, you write your joke, then you do it again. And you listen to it again. Oh, this is dog shit here. Cut out this word. You don't need this here. You said a bunch of ums. You keep saying the word ridiculous. Because I do that a lot. And then you scrub it a little bit more, and then you do it again, and you keep doing it again the next night. And then eventually, sometimes you pound out something that is workable, and then you can work it into a set that you do with like a typical show.
So you're very like editorial of yeah. your own work, which I feel like is really hard for a lot of comedians to do. So you like trim the fat, like you mm-hmm. go up there, and like, do you still record every show?
I do. And it's I do that because of my background in English, because I was trying to be a writer for a little bit, and most of your writing comes in your editing. So you write out your skeleton, and then you flesh everything out from there. And I do the same thing with jokes.
Huh.
So you start out with something that's dog shit, and then hopefully you polish that into a gold nugget.
Do you feel like your psychology background and your English background have like way helped you out of like doing
it?
What
does
you're doing?
It does help a little bit. And plus just the fact that I dove headfirst into comedy, and it's something that's been around in my life forever. Like TJ Miller said, that this next generation of comedians are going to be super comedians because they've had this art form around them their entire lives.
Right.
So I'm trying my best to be
a super comedian.
Yeah, close.
Like, I mean, you already got Superman and Batman. You're yeah. wearing. Yeah. You already got at least the
plate. I got wishful thinking into hoping to be
that's
a decent
insane.
Comedian.
I never heard that quote from TJ Miller. Basically, like, I mean, like, that's how you write and stuff, but, like, and you're only comfortable with 20 minutes, though. Like,
for the most part, yeah.
Do you feel like you want to, like, push that? Do you want to make, like, a half hour? Do you want to...
Oh, yeah, it's always building, and it keeps getting easier, you know, to write material and stuff, because once you find your voice, then you're just going through figuring out formulas and stuff on how the topics that you have work. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Sometimes you have to sit on something for a year before you can make it funny, and that happens quite a bit. But I only say 20 minutes because, for the most part, you write a lot of shit.
Yeah.
That sucks. Like, a lot of... You're like, I am happy I only had to say that one time. Woo! I'm going to go lie down. You get a lot of those jokes.
I'm tired.
And a lot of throwaways, sometimes just from situations. But you find stuff that works time and time again, and stuff that goes together, and then you put it all together, and you've got something that flows. Because I'm not a big fan of segues. I like to, I like my comedy to be like a transmission that's failing. It just keeps shifting into whatever gear it feels like. So I do a lot of that, but eventually you establish even a flow with that.
So, I mean, like is the main goal to have that like free flowing, like just like everything kind of goes into each other, like that just nice mesh of things.
Yeah. And you try to keep it conversational. You don't want to be robotic with it.
Do you ever do crowd work?
I occasionally do. And sometimes I'll just do random topics from people.
Do you just like point in the audience, like, what do you have?
Most of the time I just
they're like boners.
Get random shit from other comedians.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you like pointed at someone in the audience, like, raise your hand if you have a good topic for me to talk about.
Yeah. The other day, a comedian friend, I guess. I was asking, I was like, there was nobody at this mic, so I was like, hey, you guys want to hear anything that I haven't done for a while? And he said, he messed up what he was saying because he was going to say the difference between people wearing suits, and he said the difference between soups.
Oh God!
So I wrote a joke based on what he said. It was okay.
Campbell's and wedding.
I was like, you can tell the difference between people in their economic class based on what soup they eat. Like, if a dude's eating a bowl of rocks, that's not soup. It's kind of an anti-comedy joke.
Yeah, no, that was good.
But
I enjoyed
it.
So do you have like anything that you're going for, like that you need to promote, or like what's coming up next for you?
As far as things, there's a lot of stuff that's in the works. Nothing I can completely confirm. I know I will be at, Hilario at Barrio, Bill Squire's room.
Yeah.
On the 30th of March.
Nice.
So we'll be there. Other than that, I'll be around the Kent, Akron area for the most part.
And, Michelle's every Tuesday.
Michelle's every Tuesday.
And, like, are you trying to like record a special like DVD wise? It seems like a lot of the comics that come in here, that's like one of their main goals, is like get the Slow Mutants, like, you know, mm-hmm. tape them and like do a thing with them.
Yeah, it's always an eventual thing, you know. A lot of people, I feel like, they're trying to rush the process, you know.
That I will agree with you in that part, like,
because they say that, you know, especially with comedians, it takes about 10 years
yeah
before they're any good. Some people can get there a lot quicker. But, you know, why rush it? You know, you want to make sure you've got a good solid hour's worth of material before you start recording something.
So have you released anything at all? Like a CD or like...
Not really. Like I did... I just did like had 10 minutes for the Slow Mutants recorded. And that was just a bunch of us. Yeah. We did a bunch of us. And then I... you know, I've occasionally helped out with the other recordings, just, you know, doing intermission comedy for the most part. But yeah, it's a process. I try to get within a 100-mile radius of this area, as you know, as much as I can, go to every place.
So like where, like, so you do get around to, like, where do you go? Like other than Pittsburgh, like, do you go to like West Virginia or like,
I've been as far as Toledo and Tonawanda, New York.
Oh, wow.
But, like, for the most part, you stick within a 100-mile radius. You hit every mic that you can. You do whichever showcase you can get on and whatever show. You know, you saw me over there at the Empire one day.
And I've seen you at Stone Tavern. Were wearing, I believe, a Batman onesie.
Yeah, it was a bathrobe. Yeah. The underwear show.
Yeah.
That was a fun night.
Yeah, that was an odd one.
Yeah. That's a great way to meet somebody.
Yeah,
how
definitely.
You doing? Oh, you're in your underwear. That's not weird.
Me and Bob were sitting in the back, and like I was like, "Let's grab this booth." And he was like, "I don't know about this, man. Like, there's a lot of people in like underwear around us." And I was like, "Right on." I was like, "It'll be fine." And then like we sit down, and we're all at ass and dick level.
Yeah,
like
surprise.
And that's all that there was.
It's comedy just, like, shows in 3D.
Yeah, all we had was like back ass hair like facing us. We're like, "Oh, mm-hmm. This is a." My bad, man. I'm sorry about that, Bob. I meant to apologize earlier, but I didn't.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah,
okay. I forgave you by now.
That was months ago. Anyways, it was awesome having you on, man. I shake everyone's hand. I don't, but Sean does. And I'm playing him tonight. So we're going to come back and hit some news, and yeah.
Awesome.
Hey, guys. Sean Ast is back. And I'm here to tell you about the Lousy Weather Media Basement Comedy Show 3. Willis Gordon, Eric Cribley, and Matt Brady, all live in our basement. If you can't make it to the show, you can listen live March 21st at 8 p.m. on lousyweathermedia.com.
And we're back. Oh, geez. So, Bob, you got some news stories for me?
Okay.
You want to do the news intro?
I took a memo about, I have two news stories that I thought went well with each other. They complemented each other well.
Nice, I'm in.
The first one was Afro Man went to jail for punching a woman at his most recent concert.
Do you know why?
No, I didn't read it.
Okay, well, let's dive in.
All right. I'll have to search it.
You have so many phones right now.
Because it's Afro Man, I'm assuming it's because he got high.
Oh, nice.
Did you hear the Because I Got High 2015 or 2014? He did a remix of that song and put it out like a year ago.
How was it?
I don't know. He's still getting high. But this time it's like for his glaucoma and stuff.
Oh, well, at least there's a reason.
Yeah. All right. There's a picture of him playing guitar. Oh, and I guess there's might be a video of him doing it, because here's a still frame image of him punching her.
Oh, wow. Is it like mid-hit?
Yeah.
Oh, action shot.
All right. He's booked for assault.
Oh, Jesus.
Yep. I mean, what's there to... He punched her in the face. What else is there really to tell you about that?
How does that make you feel? How do you feel? Well, I wish you had some backstory.
I mean, I don't really care, except for when you read this other... news article that I have.
Uh-huh.
That's when you start to care.
Shit hits the fan.
It's when a guy that was 92 years old hit 6 cars in a parking lot, and nothing is happening to him. He's not even getting a ticket.
Okay.
So when you're like, Afro Man's going to jail for punching a woman at his concert, when who knows the specifics? And this 92-year-old man is hitting cars left and right,
literally,
and didn't even get a ticket.
Now, do you feel that maybe because of the fact of a dude hitting a girl, that's why that got news and he's getting an assault charge, and a 9-year-old man hitting a bunch of cars that didn't harm any
people? Well, yeah, if those cars that he hit were girls, then maybe something they'd be a little bit different, you know?
I guess.
No, I think that you shouldn't let people drive cars if they're hitting things like that, and you should give them a ticket and get them off the road.
How do you feel about Afro Man?
I feel like if a woman got punched at his concert, I feel like a woman gets punched at every Afro Man concert. That doesn't happen.
A lot of pits?
There's been like four. So four people have been punched.
All women. And they all deserved it, I'm guessing you're saying?
No, I'm not saying they deserved it.
Okay.
I'm saying if you're going to an Afro Man concert, anybody, you should be expecting some crazy shit to happen.
Wild. Leota, the band that I play in, they played with Afro Man, and it seemed like a great show of just blunts passing around and stuff like that.
I'm sure he's too high to hit hard anyway. He's like,
just like a little cloud of smoke. Yeah. It's not even his fist. It's just encased in marijuana smoke that just like, I feel like it. So you know nothing about the charges or anything?
No, I didn't
like
read
that.
Either of these articles. I just saw both headlines and I was like, that's outrageous. That Afro Man is getting hauled to jail, like getting his mugshot taken because of that. And this 92-year-old guy's not even getting a ticket. They're like, okay, drive home. Go ahead. Yeah, go on. Wild. Go on your way.
It's weird about the 9-year-old guy.
You finish your shopping, go ahead and leave.
I'll give you that. How do you feel about Afro Man punching a woman?
Man, that's you're hitting a fan. Come on, man.
True.
I don't care how high you are.
Do you think his case is because I got high?
Probably.
All right, yeah.
I had to punch my fan because I got high. I punched her right in the eye because I got high.
All that rhymes.
The woman was on stage.
Uh-huh. And?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, that's it.
Don't come on stage.
True. Yeah. There should have been bouncers there to get her off of that.
That's like security's fucking up right there.
How do you feel, Liz? You being a woman?
I just feel like maybe you just shouldn't hit people for no reason.
There's really no reason. No
Afro Man says he had no idea if the fan was a man or a woman. He just reacted to someone being on stage. And he said that there was a lack of security at the venue that kept fans off the stage.
It just sounds like there's no context. Like, that's kind of like, really? Because my automatic reaction when I see somebody in my space is not just to sock them.
Really? Yeah. What if you're an Afro Man?
I have to say.
Now, get in his shoes. Walk a mile.
If you're a big-time celeb.
Yeah, big-time celeb. Big-time. I don't know if you've seen How High, but...
If, in fact, he partakes in as much marijuana as he says, then
I'm
his
sure
reaction time would be very, very slow.
Well, what if he's
so
just
he
so
would
used,
have the time.
What if he's so used to having that THC level in him that he's like, I'm a ninja no matter what? Imagine if Afro Man's sober.
Don't you think we would have heard about people... Getting punched by Afro Man before, if that was the case.
True. Yeah. This does seem kind of like a one-time excursion of him just like punching a girl
like
in the
just
face.
Be like, I fucked up, and we should all just move on.
Yeah. I fucked up, and I got high. Yeah. You're like, all right, Afro Man, whatever.
Yeah. We knew it. You talked about getting fucking up all kinds of shit in that last song.
You didn't clean your room. I get it. And he punched that girl right on. You were high.
Just keep
that is a weird thing for a stoner to do, though, to get that like fucking like aggressive on somebody.
Isn't that always the argument, right? Like, let's legalize marijuana because you never hear about somebody getting high and beating their wife.
Yeah, they're just sitting there on their couch eating potato chips.
Somebody's going to look at this new story and be like, Reefer Madness.
No.
We need to start playing it again.
1950s. Sorry, I went back in time.
I just feel like, you know, we should just not even pay attention that this happened.
I mean, you have situations where people come on stage and bad shit has happened and all kinds of concert. Randy Blythe,
Lamb of God, killed a guy.
Killed that guy. Yeah, Maynard James Keenan choked that one dude out on stage while still singing. So, singing the song Rosetta
Stone.
Still
holding a note. Yeah. Rosetta Stone. Can you understand me now?
Yeah.
I'll give myself a bell.
Judo flipped that guy over and just kept choking him out while singing on top of his head.
Like, I never heard that story.
Yeah. I just watched a video like a month ago of like Fat Mike from NoFX was on stage and he was going like, it's like, sorry if I'm not moving around tonight. My neck is killing me. I had to have surgery on it. Yeah, he's like, I had to have surgery on it, and he's like, so just my neck hurts. And then like the next thing that happens is somebody runs up on stage and like throws their arm around him, like trying to like pose for a picture or something.
Yeah,
like,
they had a selfie stick.
They just throw their arm around his neck, And he, like, pushes him down and, like, kicks him in the face.
Yeah.
And it was pretty brutal. But, like, people were posting that video online without putting the beginning of
right.
him being like, I just had surgery on my neck. That's yeah. why I'm not moving around.
Please don't touch it.
So it's just a video of him kicking someone in the face going viral.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like, he's such a shitty person because of it.
Context is always important.
How stupid are you that you don't know to not get on stage? Like, short of being at a hardcore show where you're all on the floor.
Right.
Like,
or Mushroom Head with the taped titties. You know them?
Right.
They're from
right.
Ohio.
They are. I remember when they were really big
yeah.
in the area.
Yeah.
I'm old enough for that. Yeah. Anyway.
Aren't we all?
I feel like you know better. I feel like everyone knows better.
Right.
So I kind of feel like if you get hit, you're asking for it.
Asking for it. AFI, that was used to be their old name.
So you shouldn't have been hauled to prison.
But that old man that hit all those cars should have.
Because there could have been kids walking in the parking lot.
What if a kid
came on?
He's
just hitting cars, and in the video it says that he's like full accelerating like with his foot on the gas. Like
Jesus
he's not like
Christ.
Slowly hitting these cars.
Yeah, he's like his
he's
foot
slamming.
Got, his foot
I
got
read
stuck.
That story yeah. earlier today.
He said his foot got stuck, but
yeah.
he's a 96-year-old man.
The accelerator yeah, got stuck.
That's weird. When we got hit by a car, this girl claimed that her brakes got stuck, and I was like, that's weird because I heard your tire screech.
Mm-hmm.
See, now your brakes can lock up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so her anti-lock brake system didn't work, but her not understanding that a red light was happening did work.
Correct.
And then she was like, oh, fuck. And she's like, oh, my brakes didn't work. And I'm like, well, they did, but just not in the way that you were intending them to because you're going 50 on Talmadge Avenue while we were crossing.
People are gracious. Dumb.
The thing about the old man, though, is that in the video, you see him shoot forward in all these cars.
Yeah.
He then reverses and then shoots forward again at all these cars.
Okay, well, then there you go.
I think he's in his own demo derby.
Yeah, honestly, he's like, fuck all
no
of them.
Ticket.
Should have
no
spray painted a big
like
six on the side of his car.
How are you not going to take that guy's license? He's 92, and he clearly demonstrated that he does not know how to operate
yeah.
a vehicle safely.
Very
like,
true.
How are you not going to take his
Can't
license?
Can't pass a vision test. You don't deserve to drive. Really, more or less that simple.
It reminds me distinctly when we were all learning to drive, my mom taught a group of us.
No old people should drive. You're like, thanks, Mom.
And I had done, like, you know, 15 minutes or whatever in this parking lot. And my friend was like,
were you
oh,
doing stand-up?
Can I try? Yeah.
I'm kidding. Yeah. All right, so anyways, guys, what about this
15.
Parallel parking? Am I right? Weird.
Hey-yo. And my friend got into the driver's seat, and she said, which one's the brake? And my mom was like,
how old was she?
Get out of the car. We were like 14 or 15.
Oh, 90. That's what would have been the appropriate answer.
But
Methuselah.
I feel like
Bible
the same
joke.
Goes for being like 92.
Yeah. 14 like, and 92. They're the same type of people.
The year he was born, 1492.
I remember when carts were invented.
Carts? I don't think you should be operating an automobile. Oh,
no carts.
Oh, my God.
I read this headline. It was a float accident at Haiti Carnival Parade kills at least 16.
Who?
16 people.
At the carnival.
A fucking float. And if I'm under the right understanding, is that a float is something that drives on the street as a car, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, not like, you know, like a balloon from fucking Batman, like the Joker has. It's spewing, like, fun gas everywhere and shit like that. Like, it's like, or Smilex, I believe is the term.
Mm, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Smilex.
But, so, at least 16 people were killed early Tuesday in the Haitian capital after a man on top of a musical group's carnival float was shocked by high-voltage wires above the street.
Jesus.
Now, no one, not one person took into consideration that these floats are going to go by and that they're taller than high voltage wires.
Damn.
So I feel like Haiti should be blamed.
And he wasn't like, look at these things coming in my path. I should duck.
Well, maybe he couldn't. Maybe what if it was at like his ankles? Should have jumped, I guess.
Or got off the float.
True. But he's a musician, a musical group. Like, I mean, like, he was, like, trying to entertain, trying to be
How
a
many
fun
people
time.
Died?
16. Six fucking teen.
Because of that.
Ridiculous amount of people.
Yeah, the accident occurred as thousands of people filled the streets of downtown Port, something I can't pronounce, Port-au-Prince, for the something annual celebration, video showed sparks coursing from the wire after a singer from the Haitian hip-hop group Barricade Crew was jolted by the overhead power line as the float passed by below it. The cable appeared to shock several others as well, so there was bystanders, not only the musician.
Jeez, that was the lamest parade ever.
Actually, that seems like the most insane parade.
Maybe.
Imagine being a little kid in that audience. You're like, wow, these floats are cool, because that's the only time you think floats are cool is when you're a little kid, because you haven't seen much. That's like, oh, fire trucks, weird, awesome, I love this. And then, like, someone dies, 16 people die in front of you. I mean, it could be traumatizing, but at the same time, you'd be like, wow, I wish I had a camera phone.
Nothing's ever going to top that parade. I got drunk and live tweeted a parade once. That was fun.
Yeah.
But nobody died.
That would have been a way better live tweet.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Next time.
Do you have any news?
I did read something very interesting today.
16 Haitian people died.
No, no, no. They said that that Lake Erie is 94% frozen over.
Okay.
Which is almost topping the record for 1996. So it's been that cold that you could just stomp on over to Canada if you feel like it.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Serious ice.
But I mean, like, it's all moving water and it all freezes.
Yeah, for the most part. There's small sections in the middle that are still liquid, but for the most part, it's almost a solid sheet of ice.
Back in the day,
it's 6 inches thick.
In Mentor, Ohio, we used to jump off this lighthouse that, like, you had to, like, crawl up, like, this, like, weird, like, abandoned staircase that had, like, the rails removed from it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was, like, this fence that you would crawl around the side of it. I mean, no one was supposed to jump off this.
Yeah.
But we did. And there's, like, bull sharks in the water in Lake Erie.
Mm-hmm.
Man-eaters.
Yeah.
And, but there's also, like, no way to tell if there's any type of rock below it. Which blows my mind that we were all just jumping off of it. Just like, whatever, man. It's going to be fun. It's a lighthouse. There's nothing below it. But I mean, like, I cut my foot in Lake Erie. Thought I got hepatitis C. I didn't. Close call.
It's dangerous, man. I got bit by a turtle once in a lake.
Which lake?
I don't remember. It's somewhere in the south. I was at this camp. I went down this zip.
Myrtle Beach.
Went down this zip line, and it goes into a lake. And got
fuck off. So you're still in the harness?
So I was still
being
in the
attacked
harness,
by a turtle.
And this fucking snapping turtle bit my calf muscle, and I was freaking out.
Bit your calf muscle, the most meaty area of the human.
He's like, oh, Jeffrey Dahmer said this is a great cut of me.
Lean.
Not in this for a little bit. Took care of some business.
I was always told to eat the buttocks first.
Really?
Yeah.
Was that the Walking Dead forum?
I can't remember where. I believe
Albert Fish said that.
Was it Albert Fish?
Yeah.
And then there was
Bob.
The soccer team that had to eat each other in the Andes or whatever, mm-hmm. whenever that happened.
They didn't get to that game on
the plane
time.
Crash, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
The meatiest part. Also,
there's a
bacony
great
flavor, you know?
There's a of what?
Bacony flavor.
Of the butt.
Yeah.
If you cook it.
Well, presumably you're not just eating raw human. If you're going to eat human meat, you might as well go Hannibal Lecter about it and, like, cook it real nice.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Throw some sage in there.
Always throw some sage in there. All right. Well, I guess let's have a good day.
This has been a Lousy Weather Media Podcast Channel production. Executive produced by Bob Camparta, Paul Wolf, and Sean Ast. Find new episodes and archives at lousyweathermedia.podbean.com.